You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about fantasy football and NFL for SportingNews.com. If you go to the site now, check out Sporting News. I got my Week 12 picks against the spread, and a day early, the Week 12 decider column, the start sits there that you need to know for the week. And as this is an abbreviated week with a holiday, happy Thanksgiving, by the way, we are doing our second annual Mashup Wednesday that takes account Matchup Wednesday, where we look at how the game flows and general things on both sides, over-unders, affect those games and how we think things might go for the main guys. And also incorporating Lineup Thursday, where we take a deeper dive on the individual plays, the guys you might be on the fence about and not sure what to do with in your year-long or DFS lineup. So we're bringing those both together. We have three Thursday games. We've got all 32 teams in action. The byes are over, so you have 16 games overall. So we're going to break all that down in depth in this show here. So it's all one package there for the rest of your week and get you off to the holiday. And then before you hit the tryptophan stupor, that you're all set with your lineup stuff. And that's what we're going to do here. We'll go right into it. We have the three Thursday games. It starts at 12:30 with the Vikings traveling to play the Lions. Vikings are mild favorites here. I actually like the Lions in this game. It's a middle of the road over under 44, 45 points. So not too many points here. I don't expect a shootout, but when you look at the Vikings side of thing, I think you go more with their running backs this week, Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray. I'm not a big fan of Case Keenum too much, especially with Stephon Diggs possibly seeing Darius Slay. Not too thrilled about that. Of course, Adam Thielen is in your lineup every week. He's just a receiving yardage machine, and he's gotten the end zone of late as well. So he's a wide receiver one borderline in a lot of leagues at this point. So he's in. Diggs, you get a little bit more worried about because of Slay on the other side. I don't know if they're going to be able to push the ball downfield with Keenum. So I don't see too many yards overall from Keenum. I do kind of like Kyle Rudolph in this game. If someone's going to get a score from the passing game, I like him, but I like Thielen to be busy, rack up some yardage here. Just don't like Keenum in particular. McKinnon and Murray expect to get a lot. They're going to try to get Matthew Stafford off the field as much as possible. He's red hot. Speaking of Stafford, other side, I don't really like his running backs. I know Amir Abdullah had his best game, 20 carries, 95 yards against the Vikings, but that was way back in week four. That was kind of an anomaly with this Vikings run defense. So I don't really like Abdullah. I really don't like Theo Riddick. I like Golden Tate a lot, working the slot there. The Vikings are more vulnerable there. We're not quite sure where Xavier Rhodes is going to play here. In the previous matchup, Marvin Jones Jr. was slowed down, so he's the outside guy of note, the main guy. So it might open things up for Kenny Golladay. You still can't trust Golladay, especially with TJ Jones and Eric Ebron also eating into the targets. But Jones could be slowed down here, and they have other guys to go to. So keep that in mind. So the guys I like most here are Stafford and Tate. Not a bad sneaky stack if you're playing the early Thursday through Monday slates. And really in this game, I don't like either defense. Both offenses are protecting the ball at the moment, getting it out quickly, so not many chances there for points. I think I do like the Chargers defense, however, in our second game of the week. 4:30 p.m. Eastern kick in Dallas. A pretty high over-under, 48 points. You got Phillip Rivers on one side. The Cowboys are mildly favored by some. It's a pick 'em. Some have the Chargers favored. I do really like the Chargers here. A lot of things on their offense. Phillip Rivers, you can go with him, but it's hard to trust too much in the passing game beyond Keenan Allen, who's coming off a monster game. Finally, you were waiting for that from Keenan Allen. It came through. You've been playing him every week. So Rivers and Allen look good again here, as well as Melvin Gordon. I don't know if I'll dive more to Austin Eckler. I don't think it's going to be a type of game where the Chargers can roll against the Cowboys. So it's going to be close. So they're going to have Gordon, Allen, Rivers. Beyond that, with tight end and receiver, it's been a mixed bag for the Chargers. You really can't trust much, even against a bad Cowboys secondary. But Allen should get his, Gordon should get his here, and Rivers should have a fine road game with a couple scores involved here for sure. On the Cowboys side of things, I'm cooling off on Dak Prescott. Tyron Smith looks like he'll come back and play in left tackle, but this is a very tough Chargers pass defense. They got Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram rushing the passer. They've got Casey Hayward, their top-rated corner by Pro Football Focus. They're out in coverage. Des Bryant hasn't done much, so tough matchup there. I do like the Cowboys' rushing attack. I think they have to go more run-heavy with Alfred Morris. He's looked good here in the two games that Ezekiel Elliott has been gone. And he's their best chance to stay in the game, control the game, keep the ball out of Prescott's hands. I think you'll see Prescott run a little bit to maybe help his stats. But overall, I could see a big Morris workload here, and the Chargers do a lot more in the passing game. So that's how I see this one playing out with Bryant. Reluctantly, you keep him in your lineup, hoping for the touchdown. But it's just been ugly of late for these Cowboys receivers. So I go away from as many of them as I can. If possible, you don't force Bryant in there at all if you've got better options. Our next game is the night special, the regular time slot of Thursday night football. Giants and Redskins here. This is games on NBC. This could be an either way type game. I could see it being a little bit ugly, but I expect the scoring to be there mostly here. Sterling Shepard looking very iffy to return with those migraines this week, but Eli Manning proved he can still throw some other guys. He's going to have to put a ball in the air a little bit more. Orleans Darkwa, that's the workload and production of late alone. You like him in the backfield, but Eli Manning, he'll try to find other guys. I think Evan Ingram can have a good game here. You've seen Roger Lewis Jr. score touchdowns before, so I think Eli could get a pair of scores here. Darkwa, some good combined yardage, so not a bad spot for the Giants' offense here. The Chiefs' game is just ugly on both sides. So the Darkwa still came through and scored in that game. So I think the Giants, you feel good about it. I still like the Redskins' defense to maybe make a big play or two. Primetime emotional lift there from playing in the game. So keep that in mind. Kirk Cousins is red hot. You're keeping him in against the Giants. In terms of receivers, the guy I trust the most here is Vernon Davis by far at tight end. Jordan Reed is probably not going to play again. So Davis, clearly the number one receiver there, Josh Doctson as well. So Davis, Doctson, Cousins, I like them. I go away from Crowder. I do like Samaje Perine as well in this one. So good spot for all your Redskins principals in this one and your Giants here. So I think this should be an entertaining game and maybe the highest scoring of Turkey Day. And I'm pleased to announce that the Locked On Network has a new partner. It's Draft. And if you have not checked out Draft, it's a great, great site. It's fun and easy to play a different brand of daily fantasy sports. It's no salary cap. It's just a snake draft. And you got to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, and you're done in under 5 minutes. And they last for only 1 week. So just like DFS, you can join one right now for week 12. And the best part is you can play for cold hard cash. And your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites. So that's great news. You got to check out Draft. I love doing their little drafts. You're quick and in there. It's like you're back on the clock from before the season, except you're not stuck with guys that got hurt. You can go with the new guys every week, and that's always fun. And best of all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering fantasy football listeners a money-back guarantee to up to $100. So that is fantastic. Just search the word draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with the promo code LONFL. Fun, easy. Get in the snake draft fun at Draft Day. So as we move on to Sunday and Monday's games, a lot of good players to draft there in a 13-game slate beyond those Thanksgiving Day games. And we start with the Browns and Bengals. The Bengals had no trouble in the first matchup in Cleveland. This is a little bit low on over under 38 points. We have the Bengals favored by 8 here. Bengals, Andy Dalton, a good spot to come through. He lit up the Browns in the first matchup. He should be fine again at home here at 1 o'clock with A.J. Green. So that's not a bad DFS hookup for you this week with Dalton and Green, or if you want to draft both of those guys together on draft. Great combination for sure. Even with Jason McCourty on the other side, Green is just too good. He's on fire here of late. So that's good. Tyler Kroft, you can look at as well in the passing game. That's about it. Joe Mixon, you can't trust. The Browns are actually very good against the run. He really struggled against them the first time. So go away from Mixon, but love Green and Kroft along with Dalton this week for sure. On the Browns side, I kind of like Duke Johnson Jr. He's one of my recommended plays. He's very cheap on the salary cap sites, and you can get some good value for him in a PPR as well. He's back on the radar after having a good game against the Jaguars. Tough matchup last week came through. I don't like Isaiah Crowell as much, but he's the Brown that stands up the most. I don't really like Corey Coleman. I know he's the number one. They're 5,800 on FanDuel. I just don't like that price for Coleman, and I really don't like him in your lineups in general. The Bengals have been pretty good there against receivers last week. With Demaryius Thomas, they let him score, but Coleman's still finding his way. I don't like that chance to succeed here on the road against the Bengals secondary. We go to our next game. It's the Bears and Eagles. This is a lopsided affair in terms of the Eagles. The favorite as many by 2 touchdowns here. So 44 over under the Bears. We'll start with them. It's a little easier. I think you go with Jordan Howard, and that's about it here. I just think you go away from everything else, including their defense. So that's a pretty easy decision. Keep Howard in your lineup. Hope for the best. The game flow doesn't get too out of hand where they stop giving Howard the ball in the second half. On the Eagles side of things, you got to like Jay Ajayi. You got to like Corey Clement as a deeper play. I think this could be another blowout. Remember, this team has won back-to-back games by 28 points. They've been able to run over opponents. Clement, in relation to that, has been able to go off behind Ajayi here, better than LeGarrette Blount or Kenyon Barner. So keep that in mind. And Clement, if you're reaching a little bit, flex play, not a bad spot. They like using him, even with limited snaps and touches. He's getting the job done, kind of like Chris Thompson was early in the season for Washington. So you look in the passing game, you got to keep rolling with Alshon Jeffrey. Bit of a revenge game for him against the Bears. I think he'll come through pretty nicely this one. I think other receivers are kind of hit or miss with Torrey Smith or Nelson Agholor, so I stay away from those guys. But I think Zach Ertz will rebound in this one as well after one of his worst active games of the season. You remember he missed a game there before the bye, but just didn't do much. Good matchup here. Not the same with Byron Jones on the other side against the Cowboys last week. So Ertz should rebound. Jeffrey looks good. Ajayi and Clement, and of course, tying it all together is Carson Wentz, and I love the Eagles' defense this week to have a big impact at home against this Bears team that's probably going to give up a lot of sacks in the second half and not score too much the entire game. Our next matchup, another lopsided affair, that Patriots are favored as many as 17 points in this one. Jay Cutler, we're not sure if he's going to start with a concussion. Either way, I don't like Devontae Parker at all. I think the Patriots can take him away. It feels more like a Jarvis Landry game to me. I think it could be only a Jarvis Landry game for the most part. In terms of running backs, I think you could see a lot of Damian Williams as well. So Williams and Landry are actually the two guys I like the most. I don't really love Stills there as much. He could get the job done a little bit, but I think Landry in the slot is the safest play of those receivers. Against the Patriots secondary, that's actually playing pretty well, but still can be very vulnerable in the slot. The Raiders just didn't have anyone, and Seth Roberts was not reliable there to take advantage of that. So I think Landry has a solid game here again. Just keep rolling with him. Williams, I like because of the pass protection and the game flow here that they're going to need more of the receiving back in there. So Williams could get the garbage there as well as Landry in the second half, no matter if it's Cutler or Matt Moore in there. For the Patriots side of things, you kind of have a triplet situation developing here beyond what we expected. And Tom Brady, of course, locked into your lineup. He can carry you down the stretch here. Brandon Cooks, with probably no Chris Hogan again, is going to get a lot of targets and be heavily involved, make some big plays against the Dolphins secondary. So you love those two guys. Gronk, you've been disappointed in Rob Gronkowski. But remember, he had the same build as O.J. Howard, who was able to take this defense down. And you also saw Ed Dixon score the week before. So simply put, Gronk should have a nice rebound game here with Cook. So you have Gronk and Cooks and Brady feeling good. I think Amendola you can extend if Hogan definitely misses the game. You can go there. And with the running backs, I think the one guy that I trust The other one's a kind of a little bit of fluctuation with their usage. Rex Burkhead and James White mainly is Deion Lewis. So you got to get in Lewis, Cooks, Gronk, and Brady. And not a bad so-called onslaught this week to try to get all those guys into one lineup for sure. It's a 47 over under, but when the Patriots are favored that much, you know they'll easily go over 30 points in this. So a lot of opportunities for scores, and Gostkowski should be busy as well. And I like the Patriots defense as a sleeper this one. So great week for the Patriots, not a very good week for the Dolphins. The Bills, before press time, we were waiting on this to find out because it changes the prospects of the Bills completely here. Tyrod Taylor's in there. So Taylor gives LeSean McCoy some nice upside there for the Bills in this matchup against the Chiefs. You look at McCoy, even with Nathan Peterman, he had a long run early and then got involved late with McCoy. So coming off a good game there. So McCoy owners are thrilled that Taylor's back in the mix. And if you're digging a little deeper, now you can look at someone like Zay Jones there. I think Zay Jones in wide receiver three mode for maybe standard issue leagues, for maybe deeper leagues, you can look at Deontay Thompson against the Chiefs secondary. The Chiefs allow the most fantasy points to wide receivers. So there's some potential there, especially with Taylor starting. And it also hurts the Chiefs defense here because Taylor protects the ball a lot better than Nathan Peterman. He's going to move around. This team's not getting a lot of pass rush. He cannot play the Chiefs in defense this week. So McCoy in there, Taylor is a sleeper. Going even a bit deeper, you can look at Jones, and even a bit deeper, look at Thompson. For the Chiefs side, I think this is going to be an overcorrection Kareem Hunt game. So if you've been disappointed, if you're a Kareem Hunt owner, this is where he gets it. Andy Reid always does this from time to time. He forgets to give the running back the ball enough. Then all of a sudden, we're going to feed this guy 25 to 30 times. And I could easily see that happen this game, especially with Alex Smith struggling. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill should get theirs as well. So those are the main guys you're always starting for the Chiefs. But you got to cool off on Alex Smith until you see him turn things around back to what we saw earlier in the season, and you're not playing the Bills defense either. So avoid the two defenses in this game. I think it'd be higher scoring, you'd think. 10-point spread in favor of the Chiefs, but Taylor can make it close with this 45 over-under. I think they'll go over in this game. We look at our next game at 1 o'clock. The Buccaneers travel to the Falcons. It looks like Vegas likes this as scoring more than we think, 49 points. The Falcons, however, are favored by 8 to 9.5 here. So a lot of it's going to be done by the Falcons. You got to like everything Falcons. And I'll go down the line. I do like everything. If Devonta Freeman comes back, obviously playing him. But Tevin Coleman is a solid start either way. So you got Coleman regardless of Freeman. Julio Jones should keep it going. Maybe he can actually score this week. I like Mohamed Sanu to score again. I like Austin Hooper to score again. So all that comes together with Matt Ryan maybe having his best game of the season yet here. So Falcons are peaking. A lot of confidence with that performance in Seattle to get them back in the playoff picture. Want to take care of business at home against the Buccaneers, and I think they'll play extremely well offensively in this game. For the Buccaneers, I think I cool off on a lot of things. I think Mike Evans is still in your lineup. He still comes through even if he drops a lot of passes and touchdowns. He's going to get his 6 to 7 catches, flirt with 100 yards there for sure. But the rest, I don't really love DeSean Jackson. Cameron Brate has just been unusable here of the last 3 weeks without Jameis Winston, who's going to miss this game again. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick, so don't like that. Don't like Doug Martin. So lopsided game, I think, in the Falcons' favor. The Falcons' defense, a sneaky play. Adrian Claiborne coming up big the last couple weeks against the Cowboys and Seahawks. I think he keeps it going here. And I know the Bucs are proud about not turning the ball over, but I think the Falcons are going to force them into mistakes this week. Our next game is the Panthers and Jets, and going down the line with the Panthers, I don't really like Jonathan Stewart, but everything else I kind of like here with the main guys. Cam Newton is great because he's going to get Greg Olsen back. If Olsen plays, he's back in your lineup. Just plug him right back in. He's durable in general when he's in games. He had the foot injury earlier, so I think he'll be fine, and they're not going to waste time unleashing him at all. He's a New Jersey native, so that's going to motivate him a little bit more to play well in this one, coming back to help his team. So Ed Dixon goes away. A lot of Olsen, a lot of Devin Funchess, a lot of Christian McCaffrey. These three guys are going to be very good, and that's going to help Cam Newton be productive. They'll try to contain Cam Newton's running, but I think he can be very effective as a passer in this one coming off a bye. So Love those. Just don't like Stewart, the power running game. I think you'll see the Panthers open things up a little bit more than you would expect. And this is the Jets play the run first, and they're better playing that anyway than the pass. So think about that. The Panthers defense, I think, can get some sacks and takeaways in this one as well. I don't really like the other side, Josh McCown, and anything in the Jets offense. The running backs, the split doesn't thrill me at all against a very good Panthers run defense. Austin Seferian Jenkins, Robbie Anderson, tough matchups for them as well downfield. So not much I like on the Jets. Pretty much everything I like on the Panthers except for the Stewart play. I don't think he's going to duplicate what he did against the Dolphins here at all. Our next 1 o'clock game and our last 1 o'clock game from Sunday. I kind of like the Colts to upset the Titans in this one. It's a 45 owner of it, a very slim spread in favor of the Titans at -3, wherever you're looking at it. So the Colts coming off a bye, I think they'll play well. Chuck Pagano coaching for his job. Those guys are going to come out hard here. T.Y. Hilton is going to have a better game than he did in the first matchup against the Titans. He's a better home player anyway. So Jacoby Brissett, T.Y. Hilton. I like Brissett as a deep streamer. He's had a good string of multiple touchdown games. He should be cleared to play with a concussion. I like Jack Doyle as well. Had a good game the first time against Tennessee. So Tennessee's a little bit up and down covering the tight end. So I like Hilton and Doyle helping Brissett have a good day as well. Some running from Brissett, maybe a few throws to the running backs. I don't really like the running backs in general against this Titans run defense. It's pretty good. But I do like the Colts overall. And Adam Vinatieri is a sneaky good play here at kicker that can come through for you for some big kicks indoors, and the Titans have given them a lot of double-digit kicker points of late. And the Colts are typically better at home in scoring points, and there should be plenty of opportunities for Vinatieri there. Defensively, I think it's a trap for the Titans. The Colts, on paper, give up a lot of points to opposing defenses, but not of late, as they've been better with Brissett in there and will play pretty good offense in this one. Now, make sure you're checking out all the great shows on the Locked On Network, whether you follow a team like the Titans or the Colts or the Jets, Panthers, Bucks, Falcons. We've got a show for you. It's like your local beat report all wrapped up into convenient podcast form. Your show, your way, every week, every day. That's the great part of the Locked On Network and the NFL channel. Now let's close with what we have in these later games, in the night games for Sunday and Monday. We have the 49ers and Seahawks. This is a 4:05 kickoff. 49ers coming off the bye, hosting Seattle, playing off a short week. A tough loss there against Atlanta at home, but the fantasy guys produced all across the board. You got to like the same guys this week for Seattle. Love Russell Wilson to keep up a monster game. Struggled in the first matchup, but don't read too much into that. I think Seattle's offense is a lot more in a groove of late here. So when you look at Seattle, Russell Wilson, you like him, you like Jimmy Graham, you like Doug Baldwin. You can maybe reach to Paul Richardson if you need to this week. And I really like J.D. McKissic as my big sleeper of the week for sure in this one, because the first game, you recall that the Seahawks had a great passing or rushing game matchup. It really didn't matter in that one against the Colts. You saw McKissic be effective as a rusher and receiver, score 2 touchdowns. So with Mike Davis immediately back on the shelf with the growing injury, activated the practice squad, they don't trust Thomas Rawls. They don't like Eddie Lacy. There's no CJ ProSize. Everything is lining up for J.D. McKissic to have a very, very good game against the 49ers this week, and defense will rebound as well. Remember, they still made some big plays against the Falcons. They will do that. We're not sure if it's Garoppolo or CJ Beathard, but it really doesn't affect the Seahawks side too much with that and playing their defense. It does affect the 49ers side, which guy's in there, but I think you really can't trust too much on the 49ers passing game anyway, even with this depleted Seahawks defense. If it's Garoppolo, he's making his first start and for his new team, so that could be a bit of a struggle. If it's Beathard, it's a rookie playing in a tough matchup. So I don't really like anything there in the passing game. I do like Carlos Hyde, just the volume alone here. Should be well-rested and well-used. He had a good game against Seattle the first time with a long run. Getting involved in the passing game and dump-offs as well. So Carlos Hyde is the only 49er guy I like this week. We go to our next game, and it's the marquee game of the week, really, with the Saints playing the Rams at 4. 25. Two teams aspiring for the playoff, a high over-under. So we're looking for points, but I'm not sure you're going to get them all as you expect from the Rams. It's 54 over-under. Rams are favored, but I really like the Saints in what this one. Saints, it's the same old express train. Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Melvin Ingram I do like on Thursday, but I do like Mark Ingram a lot more in this game on Sunday. And then you look at Alvin Kamara, of course, those guys who are locked into your lineup. Michael Thomas is an every week play with his usage as the number one. You could reach a little for Ted Ginn. I think it's a bit risky, but those are your four principles for the Saints that have to be in every week. I would stay away from their defense because the Rams can run on them. So on the Rams side of things, I really like Todd Gurley. Everything else I'm a little cool on for sure. With no Robert Woods, I think that's going to be make it tough for Sammy Watkins there with Marshawn Lattimore on the other side. It might force Cooper Kupp into a hard matchup with Ken Crowley there. Crowley is an okay corner, but it's a rookie maybe playing out of his comfort zone away from the slot where he's been comfortable between Watkins and Woods. So it changes the whole pecking order of the way the Rams are covered without Woods, and Woods has been their number one receiver and Goff's most trusted. So beware with things in the Rams passing game for sure this week, even though the matchup on paper looks good against the Saints. I think a lot of damage is going to be done by Todd Gurley in this one. So if you have Gurley or the backs on the Saints side, you feel really good again with these two run defenses, really kind of weak in terms of giving up big pops and yards per carry. I'll go with the one Hail Mary play from the Rams, and I've tried to figure this out a little bit on who's going to pick up the slack for Woods. I think it's going to be Gerald Everett. He's lined up before at wide receiver for this team, the rookie tight end there. That you look at the profile of him and Vernon Davis, and coming with Sean McVay coming over from the Redskins, the team that just played the Saints. Vernon Davis was very active. Hard to cover downfield there for the Saints. So I think that's going to be the wrinkle with these matchups being a little tricky. Sean McVay is going to unleash Everett here a little bit more. So watch for him. He's a very sneaky, deep league play this week where he's going to be zeroed. I think this is a good boom or bust play, but I think there could be a good chance for a boom here. And I go back to the way that he's been used before when the Rams have faced guys, teams that have good secondaries on both ends. Going all the way back to his best game there against Josh Norman, Bashaud Breeland against the Redskins. You got a similar situation with Lattimore and Crowley here. So that's my Hail Mary play of the week. You can thank me if you go that route, but I think Everett could have a lot of usage here going forward with Woods out, more so than a guy like Tavon Austin or Mike Thomas being put in there more as a wide receiver. We go to our next game. I think we expect this to be pretty low scoring and lopsided. The Jaguars favored by 4 or 5 points, 38 over under. So Jaguars Cardinals, interesting dynamic here where you have the former Jaguars starter and first round pick Blaine Gabbert starting for the Cardinals again. It's a really bad spot for him. Unfortunately, Blaine Gabbert looked pretty good in Houston against a depleted secondary that is not playing very well. The Jaguars secondary is a whole different story. They can come after him. And on the other side, there's a bit of a revenge as well that's going to factor in a lot more. It's Calais Campbell left in free agency, got that big deal from the Jaguars to leave the Cardinals, his longtime team. He's having a monster season. So you look at this Cardinals offensive line, I think they're going to be swallowed and overwhelmed by what the Jaguars can do. So I pretty much do not like anything at all with the Cardinals. I think you hope for the best with Larry Fitzgerald, that maybe working the slot, he can get away from Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye at times to make some plays. But that's about it. It's just going to be a disaster for the Cardinals. I don't like their defense either. You might say, oh, Blake Bortles in the desert at home, it could be a trap there in the Cardinals' favor. But I think the Jaguars will find a way to grind out some rushing yards here as a you'll see the defense tire pretty well for the Cardinals. They'll be handling an offense that's going to be off the field, three and outs a lot in this game. So Jaguars defense is just an exceptional play. It's like another quarterback. I've compared them to that. It's like having an elite quarterback in your lineup that puts up 20, 25 points on average per game, just with the way they are in a lot of formats. So Jaguars for sure are a great, great play here. Fournette, same formula they're going to use. I like Marquise Lee in this one as well. If he can get away from Patrick Peterson, which I suspect will be there a few times, that will happen. I don't like Blake Bortles overall. I can see him throwing one touchdown again in this one, but I could see that easily going to Lee and a lot of Fournette and a lot of defense for Jacksonville. Our next and last late afternoon matchup on Sunday is the Broncos and Raiders, and we don't know what to think about this one. It's 43.5. What we don't know what to think about is we have yet another quarterback change and an offensive coordinator change for the Broncos. Paxton Lynch is coming in. And Lynch, what you're going to see is some dinking and dunking, some safe plays, get the ball in the hands of the receivers, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, as quickly as possible. And I think you'll see Thomas, who's scored in back-to-back games with Osweiler, still be a factor in this one. Sanders has a good chemistry with Lynch as well. So I think both these guys could have a pretty good game given the problems of their Raiders secondary. So I think the objective with Lynch is say, hey, trust these receivers. They can do some damage after the catch against this pretty bad Raiders defense. So that could actually help Lynch have a pretty decent game if you're in a 2QB league or really, really desperate or just going way off the radar in a GPP. You could look at Lynch here because I bet he'll run a little bit as well. I also like the Broncos to run pretty effectively. So I think there's a chance to play both C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker. Now, do I expect a huge, huge game overall from the Broncos? No, but I think it'll be better than you think and some good production there, especially yardage-wise. Could maybe not translate to a lot of scores, but I could easily see them putting up two touchdowns in this and some good yardage there against the Raiders. On the Raiders side, I'm not thrilled. I do like the Raiders to win this game in some ugly fashion here, but Derek Carr just struggles against good defenses, and I think Jared Cook might be his only source here. I like him as a cheap play on FanDuel at 5,500, but Amari Cooper is going to get a tough matchup here outside, and the slot is going to be erased by Chris Harris Jr., so Michael Crabtree might get gritty and get some points here for you, but that's about it with Crabtree and Cook. I don't really like Marshawn Lynch, and then if he gets stuffed early and the game goes in a different direction, then you're going to see a lot of Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington, even Jameis Olawale in there. So not a good spot for Lynch. He really struggled to get anything going in this Broncos run defense. They are more vulnerable to guys that can catch the ball, so Jalen Richard should be a little bit more effective. You just can't trust him. And the usage with Washington there, so keep that in mind. And then with the defense for the Raiders, making a change from Ken Norton Jr., defensive coordinator, so two coordinator changes going against each other in this game. I just don't trust them to make enough plays against the Broncos. We go to our next game, and we go to primetime to end the week here with the Packers traveling to the Steelers. Unfortunately, this game could have been a classic, but it's now a lopsided affair with the Steelers being favored by 14 points in this one. So Green Bay with Brett Hundley did not score a point at all last week against the Ravens. Steelers are our defense are playing even much better than the Ravens at this point. So not feeling anything. I just barely go with Davante Adams because it seems like he's getting his even in tough matchups with Brett Hundley. But Jordy Nelson certainly isn't. Jamal Williams can be shut down by the Steelers defense. I don't think he can do the same in the passing game he did in the Ravens to salvage his game here. So don't like Nelson. Don't like Williams. Obviously, you're not touching Hundley. Don't like the Packers defense. Adams, you just hope for the best here from him. I do love the Steelers defense at home in primetime, another great spot, like they were Thursday night against the Titans, against a weak defense that has limited offense. So Steelers keep that rolling. Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Le'Veon Bell, all good there. I just wouldn't go to Jesse James this week. If I'm going to go with the dice roll for a third guy to produce in the passing game, I'm going to Martavis Bryant. So I do like Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster to come through solid in this one. Bryant, I think this is a chance to say, hey, we still have him on our team. Remind AFC opponents that he's there and throw a deep ball to him. So Bryant is a sneaky, sneaky DFS play in GPP formats this week because he's boom or bust. That's the type of player you want that differentiates you as well with low ownership. So keep that in mind. So all things good for the Steelers, where they're not going to have to trust the tight end too much and just have their main guys go off in this one. Our last game is the Texans and Ravens. This is the Monday night special, so to speak. Another low over-under game of 38. I do like the Ravens' offense a lot in this week. I just don't know what to expect of their running game. The Texans are actually still pretty good against the run with all their losses of defensive personnel, so don't really love Alex Collins. Stay away from him at DFS, I think, even at the cheap price. Danny Wood and Buck Allen, that mix we're not quite sure of yet either with the way things are going, and it's just not a good time to experiment against a pretty good Texans run defense and a team that can contain backs in the passing game as well. So stay away there, but Joe Flacco, that's only going to help him with his value. He's going to have to throw it. Jeremy Maclin, Mike Wallace, Benjamin Watson, guys you typically don't play as much, you go with here. Wallace did come through and score last week. I thought Maclin would have a better game last week, but the Texans can't really stop anything across the board here. So number one receivers, number two receivers, slot receivers, tight ends, they're all in play here in deeper leagues for you for the Ravens, and Flacco ties it all together. Good value on FanDuel, only 6,800. He's one of the cheaper quarterbacks I like the most this week, and you can't ignore that. This Texans team, just a sieve in terms of giving up multiple TD games to quarterbacks of late. On the Texans side of things, very tough matchup overall. I think DeAndre Hopkins will still come through here with maybe the only score, fight through a tough matchup against his Ravens secondary. Lamar Miller will still probably get his with some work in the passing game, and the volume is going to be increased in the running game as well with no Dante Foreman for the season. So Miller and Hopkins, you're playing because they've just got key roles in their team. You can't really sit them at this point. You just have to temper your expectations. Against a Ravens team that's looking for its fourth shutout of the season, and Tom Savage at home looks like a potential for another one as well. So hopefully Hopkins can score and break that spell and be the guy that gets in the end zone. But otherwise, it's looking pretty ugly for the Texans, including their defense this week as they struggle on the road in primetime. Baltimore's defense, along with a few others, Jacksonville and Green Bay, are just looking like beautiful, beautiful plays this week. So there you have it. There's your Mashup Wednesday, incorporating a lot of our Matchup Wednesday elements with a lot of our Lineup Thursday elements as well to get you good to go for Thanksgiving and the rest of the weekend. Full slate of games. Enjoy those. Good luck in week 12, and we'll talk to you again Monday. Enjoy the holiday for Roundup Monday in week 12.